Hello and welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we look at issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are discussing diaspora remittances that Finance Minister Mutulu Ncube said rose from US $1 billion in the first half of 2023 to US $1.2 billion in 2024. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the USA. The two US presidential tickets are set. Vice President Kamala Harris named a running mate Tuesday. But the presumed Democratic Party's nominee wasn't alone making news in one of America's oldest cities, Philadelphia, in the northeastern state of Pennsylvania. That's where we find VOA senior Washington correspondent Caroline Presut.
In a town where the founding fathers declared independence, Philadelphia on Tuesday showing off the peaks of democracy with both political parties. For the first time, Vice President Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, introduces her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Tim and I have a message for Trump and others who want to turn back the clock on our fundamental freedoms. We're not going back.
Army soldier turned high school teacher turned football coach turned politician. Walz directly attacked the Republican ticket.
Just an observation of mine that I made. I just have to say it. You know it. You feel it. These guys are creepy and, yes, just weird as hell. That's what you see. That's what you see.
Some Democrats say Walz will bring back former Trump Democrats from swing states.
I think that that's a core demographic that the Harris campaign will have to win, and I think Tim that's willing to speak to those voters.
Just a few hours prior, on the other side of town,
it's the audit answer for the fact.
The other side, Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance held his own rally with a unique twist, answering questions from the media.
Let's talk a little bit about foreign policy.
And with some sharp words for Harris's running mate.
Tim Walz's record is a joke. He's been one of the most far-left radicals in the entire United States government at any level.
What your ancestors? Vance struck out at Democrats on immigration, fentanyl, and the economy, calling the stock market drop the Kamala crash. Undecided voter Wayne Eastman carried Vance's memoir as he stood in line to see the rally.
It's unusual to have a politician who's a writer, too, so, curious.
In 90 days, U.S. voters will make the decision between a former president and a current vice president. But the Harris team is pushing a chance to avoid a Trump repeat.
From here, the Harris-Walz team visits five more battleground states in the next 5 days. Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada. Carolyn Presutti, VOA News, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Still in the USA, most of the 2024 Mandela Washington Fellowship participants are back in Africa, determined to make an impact in their respective sectors following 6 weeks of training here in the USA. VOA's Taboka Ncube reports.
One of this year's fellows, Mr. Gift Kovere, a program analyst at the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, focused on promoting disability rights and inclusion, access to justice and gender equality, says collaborations are key to solving most of Africa's problems.
We have a role as African youth to contribute towards our development, but mainly how we come together as African youth. This is why I have that component of networking as also one of my key.
Harare Residents Alliance Director Mr. Prince Tafara Mupindu, who spent 6 weeks at the presidential precinct, is excited about the next stage of his advocacy life.
You can see one person here, but I'm representing a lot of people. So I think it's all about the impact of the program. What is the impact of the program? What is going to happen in Zimbabwe? What positive change is going to happen from Boromon?
Chief of Staff at Shasha Network, an education nonprofit that equips leaders with social capital and soft skills, Ms. Abusheba K. Ncube, says she will ensure that the knowledge gained during the fellowship benefits many other youths in Zimbabwe.
Real work begins after the fellowship. So I'm pretty excited to start implementing some of the things I've learned. And about it being easy, I don't think anything's ever easy in life. Even the simplest of things, even when you're trying to cook a meal, a lot of things could go wrong. But it's all about trying, and that's what we're all trying to do here.
With Zimbabwe facing perennial power supply shortages, renewable energy business executive Ms. Odelia Mangwengwende says the solution to Zimbabwe's power crisis lies with the private sector.
ZETDC, which is our national utility, doesn't have the money to actually produce new sources of energy, which is where us as the private sector come in. Zimbabwe, there's a fact that people don't know about Zimbabwe, which is that we actually have one of the most open policies when it comes to private participation in the energy space across Africa.
Institute for Research, Advocacy and Development founder and director Mr. Nkosi Kona Sibanda says values of servant leadership were inculcated on him and others during the fellowship, and he will take it back home to impact others.
Leadership is about serving the underserved community. It's about becoming the voice of the voiceless. That's the core of this fellowship. It's not about what position you occupy, but how you lead as a leader in whatever space that you are in.
South African youth and climate advocate Lukulumango Lihle Nanto says that there is a brighter future for his country in particular and Africa in general.
Almost everyone that we met, presidents of city councils, councillors, mayors, governors, people that we met, all of them failed at some point. And failure was something that I really was not embracing before. But having met so many people and hearing their stories and how they were able to, you know, overcome failure, it's something that definitely has changed my outlook on how I look at failure.
The Mandela Washington Fellowship this year celebrated its 10th anniversary. It has empowered 6,500 young African leaders from over 25 African countries since its inception. The Mandela Washington Fellowship is the flagship program of the Young African Leaders Initiative, YALI, established in 2014 by then US President Barack Obama. Tabuka Ncube, VOA News, Washington, D.C.
Back to our topic of the day. Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube announced that diaspora remittances grew by 16.5% from US$1 billion in the first half of 2023 to US$1.2 billion in 2024, leaving diasporans standing out as lucrative foreign currency earners for the economy. Ncube said this in his 2024 midterm budget review speech he presented last month. More than 4 million Zimbabweans are believed to be outside the country, with between 1 to 3 million citizens living in South Africa. For the whole of 2023, diaspora remittances amounted to US$1.8 billion compared to US$1.6 billion received during the same period in 2022. But most Zimbabweans in the diaspora believe they send more money or more than the official amount announced by the government, arguing that these are only the official figures, while almost the same amount is sent home through other channels. With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. To kick off our discussion, we are now joined by Mr. Vusumuzi Suanda, who is the chairperson of the African Diaspora Global Network based in South Africa, Ms. Chennai Moyomtambasere, who is an economist based in Britain, and political analyst and ZANU-PF member, Mr. Masimba Mavaza, also based in Britain. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you so much. Let me start with you, Mr. Mutambasere. Your take on the figures announced by Minister Ngube.
I think the figures are likely accurate, obviously, from an official perspective. I think those that are making a claim that those figures are probably higher are also probably correct. But I think what matters more is the diaspora dividend. What is the return on investment that we are seeing from this increased remittances? And you will see that that hasn't changed. If you go back to 2022, you look at 2023, you look at the present economic status of Zimbabwe in terms of our poverty bottom line, in terms of our standard of living, in terms of extreme poverty, we are very much regressing and not getting better in spite of these increases in remittances. And really that speaks to what we have spoken about before on this show, is how the economy of Zimbabwe actually is no value add. The money that we as the diaspora are bringing into the economy is flighting as soon as it reaches Zimbabwe, because we are still very much import bagged in terms of raw materials. People are not banking because they don't trust the banking system. And so we are seeing that in spite of the fact that diaspora remittances have increased, the diaspora dividend, however, continues to regress. We continue not to get very much return on this investment from the diaspora. And also to consider these facts with the fact that this very important constituency is today still not allowed to vote. We still haven't been able to get the diaspora vote. So, you know, the more I believe, the more people are going to continue migrating out of Zimbabwe. At some point, we are actually going to see the diaspora remittances reducing, because families will be based abroad rather than in Zimbabwe. And that real connection, that patriotic connection, is lost, because the diaspora as a constituency is still to be recognized by the government of the day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Mr. Mutambasere. Mr. Mavaza, some Zimbabweans believe they sent more money home than the figures announced. What do you think?
I think we have to go by the figures which have been announced, with this official figure. But we have to appreciate that, yes, money sent more than the one which is officially mentioned. Why? Because sometimes people send money through the channels which are not recordable, which you cannot record. They send the money through their friends. They can send the money through the guys who just advertise and say, put your money in account, we'll send the money to Zimbabwe for you. That money is not accounted for. So there is some form of money laundering process. And unfortunately, we follow it. The accounts or the figures which the minister announced are the figures which are sent by official drivers like Western Union, Mukuru, and MoneyGram, and other official conduits. So in this case, yes, it cannot reflect the exact amount sent home, because some people, they do their exchanges in a very unofficial way, and they does not benefit Zimbabwe, benefit us at all. Yes, the relatives at home will receive that money, but it does not go via the channels where Zimbabwe benefits from the remittances. And as such, it cannot be a part of the funds accountable for by the organization, which are registered and which goes through the banks or through those issues we have talked about. So, yes, I do say it is 50-50. Indeed, it cannot reflect the exact amount we are sending home from diaspora because the other monies are not recordable. And again, what has been announced is exactly what could be traceable, what is going through the formal channels.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Dr. Mavaza. To you, Dr. Suanda, some Zimbabweans think the government does not appreciate their contribution. The reason why they are not allowed to get those privileges like diaspora vote that also Ms. Mtambasere mentioned. What's your take on that?
Thank you very much. Well, look, I think the most important thing is that one could be worried that the minister, you know, is feeling excited, you know, by these remittances, and one would then think that let's hope that that is not an incentive, you know, to keep people, you know, moving out of the country because that probably could be seen as a very good source of income. And of course, I mean, we know that the diaspora remittances have been treated very harshly in terms of, you know, taxes, in terms of how these remittances are punishments, that there is no incentive, but rather they are punishments because the people in the diaspora, you know, obviously when they bring in, because the remittances are not only in terms of hard currency, but including also the property that is brought home, which is taxed so heavily. And in comparison to what happens to people that are in the country, like ministers, when they bring their property. So it is very true that, you know, the government is really appreciate, you know, the remittances that come from outside. It wants them so badly, but it does not appreciate them. In fact, it keeps on punishing, you know, the diasporans by making sure that they pay very heavily on taxes, and it denies them a lot of other rights, obviously because the government is probably aware that if we're talking in the region of, you know, say up to plus minus 4 million people that are in the diaspora, if those people that are bringing these remittances, who are likely to be people that are voters, were allowed to come and vote, that would probably, you know, change, you know, the government. Because the bulk of these people are not outside the country because they went on a frolic, you know, or decided that they just want to go and find greener pastures. But it is because, obviously, they felt that the country, you know, had descended into, you know, chaotic economic and political, you know, circumstances that made it impossible for them to continue there. And some of them led direct, you know, punishment or direct victimization by the government.
Thank you.
As a result, you know, yes.
Yes, I'll come back to you, Dr. Swanda. Muzare Mtambasere, tingati re kukwira kurugita mari, kuwanda kurugita mari kutumiru wakufa kunze, zilikurewa kuti wanawe Zimbabwe wariku mudamunyeka, wariku wanda, kana kuti zilikurewa kuti wariku nze nechakare, wariku wezira mari, zilikutumiru wakumushi.
Okay, so zvinoreva kuti kazhinji kacho zviri kureva kuti vana veZimbabwe vari kubuda muZimbabwe vari kuwanda. Zvakare, tinoziva kuti kukwira kwemari inenge ichipinda muZimbabwe kubva kudiaspora. Zvinofambidzana futi nenyaya dzezveutano. Takaona gore re2020 reCovid kuti nguva iyoyo maremittances akakwira zvekuti nekuti vanhu vanenge vachitumira mari kuti vanhu vabatsirikane, vanhu vawane kuenda kuzvipatara, vawane kutenga mishonga. Pare zvino takatarisana nenyaya yecholera, takatarisana zvakare nenyaya yedziwa mupengo iri kutaurika paground kuti vanhu vakawanda vari kuda kuti vatumire mari kuti vabetsere veukama nenyaya dzezvikoro uye nenyaya yezveutano. So tinenge tichifanira kunatsonzwisisa kuti kuwanda kuri kuita mari iyi kupinda munyika hakusi kuti vanhu vari kutenga maassets kana vanhu vari kutenga mapropeti. Mari iyi inotowanda nekuda kwenzara, inotowanda nekuda kwenyaya yezveutano zvinenge zvichisika munyika, zvakaita sekholera nemamwe madhizizi akaita seflu yatakaverenge yakataurwa iyo nevebato veWorld Health Organization mumwedzi yapfuura.
Thank you so much. Rambai Muriparunare. The guy did the Kuna, Dr. Mavaza. Man's got a tower, Dr. Mavaza. Na Mshare Mutamba Seri. Anzi Kuanda, Kwemari Kunoguna, Kunyae Kuti, Matamuzi Kwaru Zimbabwe, Aruku Kura, Rapita, Tuana Zimbabwe, Arun Zekwenika, Owen Zero Mari, Yawamu Tumira Kumusha, Monoti.
Ipapo andiwirani na nemashoko amzari. Chekutanga ndiche kuti vana veZimbabwe vari kubuda vachiuya kunze kwenyika. Vapetwa kaviri kubva zvavanga vari makore mashanu apfuura. Ndopaimenzaniso yekuti muno muEngland makauya chimwe kana kuti mutemo waibvumidza unobvumidza vanhu kuti vave kuzoshanda mumigwagwa kupa vanhu kuchengetedza utano yatingati macare workers nevana mukoti vana chiremba nekuti takaona vanhu vanopfuura kuma 30,000 vakainvitwa kuti vauye kubva kuZimbabwe vachipinda muno muEngland. Saka vanhu vachinge vasvika muno vaya vanenge vane hama dzavo dzavasiya kumba dzavanochengeta. Vamwe ndovana baba vakasiya mhuri, vamwe ndovana mai vakasiya mhuri, vamwe vana vakasiya vabereki. Nyaya yechirwere haiwedzere mari kana kuitisa shoma. Nekuti kana vanhu vakarwara vasina hama
dzekunze kwe. Dr. Mavaza, ndikubatei muromo. Taita mutereri, we have a caller from South Africa. I'll come back to you. Let's hear from our first caller. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Blasi.
Magadi. Yes, Rukunzwa, 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 Yes. Ko iyo nyaya yekuti muri kutambura kudaro muri kunze kwenyika asi muri kukwanisa kunge muchitumira mu first 6 months dzegore vana veZimbabwe vari kunze kwenyika kusanganisira imi muri South Africa makwanisa kutumira $1.2 billion munoti muri mukati mekutambura kudaro muri kuchengeta muri nehama kumusha. Thank you so much. Maita basa mkoma regai tinsi kune wadare wedu watii nao. Regai ndende kuna Dr. Swanda. Dr. Swanda, you heard from the caller who is based in South Africa. He says that in South Africa, Zimbabweans are suffering. But despite that suffering, they still can manage to send money back home to support families. Munoti in Isindebele.
Yebo kuliqiniso lokuthi abantu bashukumezekile lapha njalo kabathandwa ngoba baningi basebenza njalo ngokuzikhandla ukuthi banelise ukuthi bathumele imali emakhaya kuzokhona ukuthi basala belamba behlupheka lapha ngoba banemindeni eseleyo kweZimbabwe okufanele ukuthi bayonje uma behambisa naleyo mali okufuneke bayonje ngayo uhulumeni uyatshintshatshintsha imithetho uthole namhlanje bakhokhisa impela ephakemeyo uma bethenga ukudla, uma bethenga izimpahla ezithile abangeke banelisa ukuzithenga kwelaseZimbabwe. Kanti njalo ushintsho olwenzakala phakathi kwemali ikakhulukazi eyamarandi nedona elithengakala lisebenzi kufika njalo eZimbabwe kuzokwenza isikhathi liyenza ukuthi kube nzima ukuwondla abantu abaseZimbabwe ukudlula ukuwondla balapha eSouth Africa. Okwenza ukuthi abantu abala eSouth Africa ngesinye isikhathi babukeleka phansi njengabantu abahluphekileyo ngoba imali eningi kufuneke bayise kwelaseZimbabwe kodwa uhulumeni aqhubeke ebahlukumeza. Ngakho kuliqiniso ngempela ukuthi abantu abaphila eSouth Africa badla imbuya lotho.
Thank you so much. Let me go to Mr. Mutambasere. Mr. Mutambasere, you heard from our caller in South Africa who said that despite hardships that people face, those in the diaspora, they can still manage to send something back home. Can people blame the government or they can just be, it's their responsibility to look after their families?
I think we can definitely lay quite a great portion of this on the government. As much as we should be looking after our families and working together with our families, the truth of the matter is there's a double taxation barrier in terms of how much diaspora really can do back home. The fact that we have to support families to do the basic things, you know. So here I'm talking about supporting family to pay for school fees, to pay for hospital meets, their hospital bills, and to even buy basic commodities, basic foodstuffs, you know. So, and then when that happens, still we are taxed at the point where we are either sending the money through the remittance companies because they have to pass on the charges that they have placed on them by the government onto us as customers. So there's a double taxation barrier in terms of, and again, even Dr. Mavaza mentioned that the types of jobs that the majority of diaspora are doing, you find that these are low-end, low-wage opportunities that they have access to. So it's really taking from very little to be able to support family back home. But once you're even able to do that, you're facing the barrier of double taxation whilst you're trying to do that. So the money, the little that diaspora can afford to send is really then, is, we don't really get much out of it, which is why I started by saying we need to consider
the
diaspora.
Thank you so much. Time is running out. Let me go to Dr. Swanda. To Dr. Mavaza, before I go to Dr. Swanda. Dr. Mavaza, respond to what Ms. Mtambasere just said.
Thank you very much. Yes, I do agree with most of what she said. And I do agree again with the fact that Zimbabweans abroad, we do suffer. We are not at home. And therefore, we do not live like people back home. But however, we in such situations, we still remember where we come from. We still remember to support our families, our neighbors. We've got so many Zimbabweans here abroad who actually start paying school fees for children they don't know. They just help them. So I know we Zimbabweans are blessed with such a heart to help. And because of that helping heart, our diaspora remittance has become quite high. Yes, we do appoint the fact that in question of us, we cannot blame the government for what is happening. Zimbabwe is getting so much better now. Things are settling down. And the money we are sending home is actually working, is actually doing something. So people are actually enhancing their livelihood, their lives back home, their building, a lot of things which are done by the diaspora. So while it is difficult, it is an opportunity for the diasporans to develop their lives back home and the lives of their relatives and those who benefit from them.
Dr. Swanda, can we see the government considering the request from the diaspora for the diaspora voting the 2028 elections, considering the contribution that the diaspora is making?
I don't think so. Very unlikely. And there is nothing that I think the government has done, except if it means all what they want is just the money. But they know that they'll get that money without giving that vote. And giving the diaspora the vote, the government is aware that it's going to be its demise. So that is not going to happen, not anytime soon.
Ms. Mtambasere, can we see the government giving the Zimbabweans in the diaspora vote that they need?
There certainly has been no movement on this since we started making that call for the diaspora vote. There's been no really appetite or any show of willingness by the part of the government to move on this.
And Dr. Mavaza, can we see the government considering this, its citizens in the diaspora in 2028?
The Zimbabwean government is a listening government. They would look into the issues and see if our logistics are able to support such a vote from diaspora. Anything can happen, and Zimbabwe, the government, the ministry, the parliament is...
Thank you.
And investigations are being done. It might be done.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank our guest, Mr. Vusumuzi Swanda, who is the chairperson of the African Diaspora Global Network and is based in South Africa. Ms. Chennai Moyo Mtambasere, who is an economist and is based in Britain. And the political analyst and ZANU-PF member, Mr. Masimba Mavaza, also based in Britain. Signing off in Washington, this is Jonga Kandemiri.